This is your AEW Dynamite review for July 28th. This is your Fight for the Fallen edition from Charlotte, North Carolina. They had just shy of 7,000 people in the building tonight, a very loud 7,000, very energetic crowd, especially for that opener. I am the Solemn Monster here with you, and it is a good day because Bob Odenkirk is okay. Very, very, very happy to hear that. Bob Odenkirk, for those of you who don't know, actor, comedian, on one of my favorite TV shows, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, the spinoff from Breaking Bad, in the middle of filming the final season of the show, collapsed on the set yesterday, had to be transported by ambulance to the hospital. Almost 24 hours go by with no updates. And everybody is thinking the worst. Everybody is fearing the worst. I was refreshing my Twitter feed all day long, checking to make sure, is he alive? Is everything okay? And finally, this evening, we got an update from his family saying that he had some kind of heart episode or some issue with his heart, but he is stable, he is conscious, and I just want to send best wishes to him because, by all accounts, he's one of the good ones, and would hate to have something happen to him. So, very happy to hear that before Dynamite went on the air tonight that Bob Odenkirk is doing okay, and get well soon. I look forward to the final season of the show. This was a wild episode tonight of Dynamite. It's not about Better Call Saul. Let's talk about AEW. This was a wild edition of Dynamite tonight from the Bojangles Coliseum. That is where they were in Charlotte tonight. A very eventful episode. There was a lot that happened here. We have to unpack everything because there's a lot to get to here. We had, of course, the big announcement. We may as well just mention this here right off the top. Rampage, which is AEW's new show, of course, is going to be debuting in a few weeks on Friday, August 13th. That is the debut edition of Rampage. The following week, so episode number 2 of Rampage, that is the August 20th episode, they're bringing it to the United Center in Chicago. The United Center, I believe the very first event ever at the United Center was SummerSlam back in 1994. And for whatever reason, WWE does not run the United Center. I don't think they run it at all. I think it's been years since they've run that venue. It's a big building. I think it has a capacity of around 20,000 or over 20,000. I don't know what this show will be configured for. Probably not 20,000. But they are bringing it to the United Center. They're hitting Chicago before All Out. So they have three events the week of All Out. Dynamite, Rampage, and the pay-per-view at the beginning of September. They're going to go to Chicago a couple of weeks before that, which is a little strange, but they are calling it The First Dance, which is a play off of The Last Dance. Jordan having all those great years, all those championships with the Bulls, right? What is it? 6 titles, I think, with the Bulls. So they're calling it The First Dance. And of course, you have all the people in the Bojangles Coliseum chanting CM Punk. CM Punk. Loud CM Punk chants here. They cut to a Darby Allin promo in the back. He was being interviewed by Marvez. He had Sting with him. And already they are dropping teases of CM Punk possibly coming in and doing something with Darby Allin. So now we know. You can no longer say, well, it's just, you know, rumor and it's conjecture and I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah, you'll believe it when you see it, but this is the hardest evidence yet. That after all the teases and all the rumors and all the years, 7 years this guy has been away from wrestling, CM Punk all but confirmed tonight to be coming into AEW. They did everything but just flat out tell you that, hey, we're going to have CM Punk on the show. But that is a big announcement for them because that's a big venue for them to run, and they would not be going there if they didn't have something special planned. So the idea that they're going to hold off on debuting Punk until All Out, to me, from what it sounds like, went out the window tonight. And it sure looks like CM Punk is going to be making his debut before the pay-per-view on that show, and Darby Allin may well be his first opponent. So that was the biggest news coming out of the show tonight. Of course, so we also don't yet know who is going to be challenging for the AEW Championship because Hangman Page got pinned tonight by Kenny Omega in the Big Ten Man Tag. Stipulation was that if he were to win, he would get a title match against Omega. Not going to happen. Kenny Omega gets the pin, gets the win. We'll talk about where they may be going with that. And of course, the main event tonight was the No Rules match. Chris Jericho and Nick Gage making his national wrestling debut, his national wrestling television debut here tonight. Now, I know we have a lot of Nick Gage. I'm sure we have a lot of Nick Gage fans. We probably have a lot of people who don't like Nick Gage and who don't like that style of ultraviolent wrestling. I watched Nick Gage tonight, and I just thought to myself, this guy has no business being in the main event on TNT. I know he's got his fans, and we're going to talk about the match because it's not a case where I hated everything about the match. Tonight's show, to me, the biggest takeaway, you got a little bit of everything on this show. If you like a lot of the comedy spots and a lot of just the wild, you know, boom, boom, boom of Young Bucks matches and all that, you got that in the opening match, right? If you wanted some wrestling, you had some solid wrestling on the show, and there was really no match that stood out as being outstanding or anything. And Santana and Ortiz against FTR actually was a little disappointing. We'll get to that. But you had that. You had the hardcore stuff and the violence in the main event. So you got a little bit of everything on this show. And kudos to Chris Jericho, because this guy took a fucking beating in this main event. He's taking pizza cutters to the head. He's taking light tubes. Anyway, I want to just mention that for videos on this channel, maybe not this one, but look, clips I post, things like that, there is a new feature. We have super chats during the live streams. Well, now we have super thanks. So it's kind of like a super chat. It doesn't show up on screen, but if you want to show your support for the channel, if you're wondering, what is that word thanks under a lot of my video clips now where it says share, it says thanks now, you can now support the channel that way on any video, anywhere from $2 up to 50. It's a new feature on YouTube. It is enabled on the channel. Entirely up to you if you want to show your support. That's what that is. We have super chats. Now we have super thanks. I give you a super thanks for joining me here tonight and choosing me for your Dynamite coverage. So, let us get into this wild and crazy show. We opened with the big 10-man elimination tag team match. Hangman Page and the Dark Order against the Elite. Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson. The stipulation is that if Hangman and the Dark Order win, Adam Page would get an AEW title match against Kenny Omega, and the Dark Order would get a tag team title match against the Young Bucks. They had a really cool, this I thought was cool, they had a really cool cowboy-themed video entrance for Hangman and the Dark Order to open the show. Sounded like something that would be narrated by Sam Elliott. It wasn't Sam Elliott, but it just kind of reminded me of like a Sam Elliott narration. This was really cool. I thought that the whole entrance with Hangman and the Dark Order and them coming out and posing together was a really cool visual. And we went from a really cool entrance for the babyfaces to a decidedly uncool entrance for the heels. And Stephen Chaffa is getting us started tonight on the right foot because he just dropped a hundy bomb. $100 from Steve Chaffa. Look at this. Already, we're only a few minutes into the stream. Steve, you're awesome. And so are you. Epsilon Sama going with the 420. Undertaker 420. I love it. I love it. We'll get through all your super chats a little bit later. But we go from a really cool entrance that I liked and I thought was pretty badass to a decidedly uncool entrance for the heels. Maybe that's what they were going for. They wanted to come out looking like geeks because that's how they came across here. We had Justin Roberts announcing the starting lineup for the Elite. They all got NBA-style intros. They came out with basketballs. They're wearing jerseys as part of their entrance. This is all part of the promotion for the new Space Jam movie with LeBron James, Space Jam 2. I saw Space Jam 1 many years ago. I have no interest in seeing Space Jam 2, but perhaps some of you have. So if you have, let me know in the chat. How was Space Jam 2? Is it worth me eventually going and watching it when it pops up on Netflix or something, or Disney Plus or whoever released the movie? I have no interest in seeing this. I've heard nothing but horrible things about Space Jam 2. But that could just be, you know, people comparing it to the first movie. Maybe if you have kids, you thought it was a rather enjoyable movie. But let me know. But that's why they did this. It was part of the promotion, the synergy with the movie. They even came to the ring to the Space Jam theme. Y'all ready for this? By 2 Unlimited. Holy shit, 2 Unlimited. That takes me back to my middle school days. Twilight Zone. Man. I miss all that music. Omega and the Bucks also can dribble a basketball to save their life. Let's just mention that. This was John Silver's first match back from injury. Oh, HBO Max. I'm sorry. I got my streaming services all mixed up. You're right. It's HBO Max. I don't have HBO Max. So it doesn't matter. I don't even think, are there any HBO shows I even watch? I mean, I used to watch. I used to have a lot of good shows. Well, I guess maybe, I don't know, probably the True Detective shows. That might have been the last thing I really watched on HBO. Anyway, this was Silver's first match back from his shoulder injury. He had the kinesio tape on his shoulder. Some highlights here. This is one of those car crash matches where you can't keep track of everything that's going on. It's just nonstop action. It's a spot fest. That's what this was. That's what I was saying before. If you're into the spot fest type stuff, you love this match. I love the insanity of the match. I love the fact that the crowd was 110% invested in everything that was going on in this match. They were 110% behind Hangman Page. And I love it. Because he is the top babyface in the company, and they should be. They should be 100% behind him. It's not a matter of the Dark Order lifting up Hangman Page. Hangman Page has lifted up the Dark Order to where they come out and are getting a rub in effect from him. Because they're associated with somebody who's, you know, going to be challenging for the world championship. So people were into all of this. It was nonstop action. We had Alex Reynolds and Nick Jackson. They were fighting up top. Reynolds superplexed Nick onto all of the other wrestlers down below in the pile, out on the floor. We had Carl Anderson eliminating Alex Reynolds first with a handful of trunks. Again, it was an elimination style Survivor Series type match. So Reynolds was gone. We had the Dark Order hitting the fatality to put away Carl Anderson as Stu Grayson got the pin. That evened things up at 4-4. Man, a lot of hate in the chat for Space Jam 2. I guess I'm going to stay away. I'm going to stay away from Space Jam 2. That's okay. I just learned about this new, I don't know if it's a series or it's a series of movies called Fear Street on Netflix. Apparently there's 3 of them. I had never heard of it. I saw a random tweet from BuzzFeed yesterday. I'm looking forward to watching that. I'll spend my time watching Fear Street. You guys can watch Space Jam. We had Stu Grayson, who, there was a spot here that was very scary. Stu Grayson did, I believe it was a moonsault or some kind of dive out of the ring onto a bunch of guys outside. His head, the back of his head, smacked the ground. It might have been part of the metal ramp, but it smacked the ground. And clearly he knocked himself loopy there for a second. Hopefully he's not concussed. He might have a knot on his head. But his head smacked the ground, and I just went, ugh, that did not look good. But he was a ball of fire here, and he brawled into the crowd with Gallows, and they ended up both being counted out, so they were gone. We had Evil Uno going for a top rope senton to the AEW champion, who got his knees up. V-Trigger and One Winged Angel followed, and that was the end of Evil Uno. We had the Young Bucks during the commercial break hit an apron powerbomb to Hangman Page. That took him out of the picture for a while. And so one of the goofy spots here in this match that I'm sure is going to piss a lot of people off. All the people that don't like the Young Bucks are going to look at this and this is going to be steam coming out of their ears. Brandon Cutler, who is out there with them, he brings a basketball hoop over. So we now have a basketball hoop at ringside. Matt Jackson has, who did he have? Silver. I think it was John Silver. They're setting up for either an Indy Taker or a Meltzer driver. Nick Jackson is in the ring. He's got a basketball. And they end up hitting an Indy Taker. And the idea was, as Nick Jackson was going to be coming down for the move, he was going to dunk the basketball. But he missed. And I don't think that it was a case of, well, they're heels and he missed on purpose. No, I think he was trying to make the shot. And he definitely did not. And it bounced off the rim and the fans let him have it. I mean, it kind of works because they are prick heels, but I think he was trying to hit the shot. And he just completely fucked it up. But they hit the Indy Taker. Back in the ring, BTE Trigger followed to eliminate John Silver. So we were down here. We were down to Hangman Page all by himself against Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks 3-on-1. Page and Omega go face-to-face. Omega spits in his face. And a slugfest ensues. So there goes the idea of them not touching before the pay-per-view, which I was wondering coming in. Are they going to keep them apart? Now, is Omega going to avoid him? Is Omega going to get intentionally counted out just to keep away from Hangman? But no, they were going at it tooth and nail. They actually wrestled quite a bit down the stretch here in this match. The Bucks ran in with double super kicks. Then we had triple super kicks from all the Elite members to Hangman, but he kicked out. It was a draping 450 splash by one of the Bucks again. Hangman kicked out. So Hangman hit a double buckshot lariat to both Matt and Nick. He pinned Matt for the elimination. Omega tried to use one of the tag team belts as a weapon, but Rick Knox stopped him from using it. Of all the referees to put in a match like this, with all of the action and all of the insanity, trying to keep track of 10 different guys, plus Brandon Cutler on the outside, you put Rick fucking Knox as the referee in this match. You get what you deserve. So Rick Knox takes the belt away from him. Hangman ends up hitting the Deadeye on Omega for a great near fall. But Jim Ross did not see it that way. Even though Kenny Omega kicked out, Jim Ross did not see it that way. And Jim Ross made the comment here. He said that Hangman just pinned the AEW champion. And I thought, by watching a different match, did he perhaps have a different angle? Is he looking at a different camera than I was looking at? But Don Callis was on commentary. He immediately called out JR. Oh, JR. So Omega ends up clobbering Hangman with the AEW title belt, which Rick Knox, of course, did not see. Hangman kicked out anyway. And the fans are into it, man. Every near fall, every time Hangman kicks out, they cheer louder and they cheer louder because they want to see this guy win. Two V-triggers and a one-winged angel later, he didn't win. And Kenny Omega pins Hangman Page. So as of right now, as things stand at this moment, Hangman Page gets no championship match, and Kenny Omega has no opponent for All Out. I see a lot of people online wondering, well, what are they going to do? Well, what does this mean for Hangman? I guess they're not doing the match until Full Gear. Or I guess CM Punk is going to get a world title match in Chicago at All Out. I don't see it that way. I still think the match at All Out is going to be Hangman Page against Kenny Omega. I don't think this changes any. I could be wrong. It could be that they're delaying the match by a few months. They're still going to get to it, but maybe they decided, you know what, it's too soon. We can drag this story and milk it out a little bit more. Maybe so. I don't think that's the case. I think that is going to be the main event at All Out. I just think that Hangman now in storyline is going to have to find a different way. And that could come any number of different ways. You could have, case in point, Kenny Omega right now has no challenger. Maybe they have a battle royal on TV. Hangman is in the battle royal, or he has to earn his way into the battle royal, and he wins a battle royal, or he wins some kind of tournament. There's any number of things that they could do to get him back into the match. You still have about 5 weeks until All Out. You've got 5 weeks of television, not even including Rampage, to come up with some kind of story where Hangman can scratch and claw his way back in. And I think he will. I still think the match is going to be Hangman against Omega. I don't mind them taking, you know, the scenic route so long as the destination remains the same. I don't see anything wrong with that. But it was a wild match. I thought the crowd was molten hot, and it was fun. Total spot fest until we got towards the end. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. We had Taz hosting. I don't know. What was he standing on? He was standing on some kind of platform, almost like in the back of the arena. He looked like Bad News Barrett when he would deliver bad news to people. He's got a big smile on his face. He's ready for the Ricky Starks celebration, the FTW championship celebration for Ricky Starks. He's got a New Orleans jazz band playing all around the ringside area. One guy's playing a saxophone. You got people playing trumpets and people playing percussion on the drums. I guess because Starks is from New Orleans. So out comes Ricky Starks with Hook. I don't know where Will Hobbs was. Ricky Starks claimed he was out recruiting, which sounds like he was either sick or he had travel issues or there was some reason why he wasn't there. But there was no Will Hobbs. Ricky Starks said that he made history when he won the FTW title. He got rid of some garbage in Team Taz. Garbage in the form of Brian Cage. Says when he broke his neck, Cage did not call to check on him. Cage is selfish. He is inconsiderate. And he has no charisma. So out came Brian Cage. He attacks the band members. He clotheslined one guy. He beat up the guy with the drums. And then he put the drum over his head. Smashed it right over his head. He grabbed one of the trumpets. He brought it into the ring with him before breaking the trumpet over his knee. I don't know how many of you picked up on the Jim Ross line here. As he brought the trumpet into the ring, Jim Ross had a line. He goes, there's no place for trombones. I'm sorry, not a trumpet. It was a, I stand corrected. It was a trombone. I got to get my instruments right. I used to play the clarinet many years ago. Oh, I played a mean clarinet. Oh, yeah. One of my favorite memories is when we had the big performance, the big band performance in school. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So I sat there in this big packed auditorium, right? And the parents are there, they're all taking pictures. I'm all nervous. And everybody starts playing their instruments. And I'm playing, but I'm not actually playing. I'm not blowing on the thing. I don't even really know what I'm doing. I'm pretending. I'm pantomiming the motions. And I'm pretending that I'm the best damn clarinet player in the world. And nobody knew. Because you couldn't tell, right? I'm playing with all these other people. That's my memories of playing clarinet. I didn't last very long. I played for about a year or two, and that was it for me. Anyway, he brings a trombone into the ring, and Jim Ross goes, there's no place for trombones in wrestling. And I just thought, man, shots fired. Shots fired here by Jim Ross. Starks had flowers in his hand as part of the celebration, so he threw them in Brian Cage's face and was able to escape. He fled with his life still intact. That was it. That was the whole segment. There really wasn't much to it. I thought it was okay, but there really wasn't much else to say about it. Then the forbidden door was blown wide open with a video from a certain New Japan star, but not just any New Japan star, the ace of New Japan. This was the first official appearance on Dynamite, on TNT, for Hiroshi Tanahashi, one of the greatest of all time, appearing here, sending in a video message to all the AEW viewers, said that he would be challenging the winner of tonight's IWGP United States Championship match between Lance Archer and Hikuleo. He would be challenging for the U.S. title. Now, he didn't say where. He didn't say when. And that should have been a giveaway right there. Wait a minute. He didn't say he was coming to the States. He didn't say he was coming to Dynamite. He didn't say he was coming to All Out. And there's a reason for that. Later in the show, Excalibur clarified that whoever the champion is, that person would be traveling to Japan to wrestle Tanahashi. So we'll have to wait a little bit longer for that Tanahashi AEW debut. I think this is just the way it's going to be. You know, so long as, I mean, we're having issues here in this country too. A lot of countries are, but in Japan, things are just really bad with the whole COVID situation. But also just the travel situation, you know, and because you have all these states of emergency and lockdowns over there, I don't see these travel restrictions, whatever they may be, easing up anytime soon. So that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for things to just improve and for things to ease up a little bit because we only got a taste here of what's to come, right? We got a video message and people online were losing their minds. So even though he's not coming in for a match in an AEW ring, the key word there is yet. He's not coming in yet. But the fact that these people are even making appearances on the show tells you that the relationship is strong right now. It's healthy between the two companies, and they're just waiting for the right time. What I want to see, I want to see Tanahashi come in. I want to see Okada come in. I want to see Ibushi come in. Hopefully he's doing better. The guy has aspiration pneumonia. That doesn't sound very fun. You know, he has missed the last few shows. Hopefully he'll get well soon. Suzuki, you know, all these different people that I want to see cross over. You know, and you'll see AEW talent crossing over and traveling to Japan like Lance Archer is going to be doing. So I know it's coming. It's just a matter of, you know, waiting on conditions on the ground, so to speak, to improve. But it was very cool, very unexpected and very cool to see Tanahashi make an appearance here on this show. But those are the names I've been waiting for. Just got to wait a little bit longer. Ain't that right? Ufman holding down the fort in the chat here tonight. I want to thank everybody who is joining and choosing me for your Dynamite coverage tonight. I sure do appreciate it. As we talk about Santana and Ortiz taking on FTR. This is a match that I was looking forward to quite a bit. I have two teams here that are, you know, FTR in a lot of ways is the closest thing to like an old school tag team that we have, right? They're very old school. They have an old school manager. They have Tully Blanchard in their corner, right? They're all about old school wrestling. Even if you look at them, they look like an old tag team that would have fit in perfectly in the 80s, right? And then you have Santana and Ortiz, who also I think would fit in perfectly in any era of tag team wrestling. Those guys, they can wrestle, they can street fight and brawl with you. So they've been building up a program between these two teams. This is the first of what I figured would be at least two, if not three matches. And what we got here was good. It was still disappointing. So it wasn't a bad match, but it was disappointing. And I don't often say that, oh, it was good, but it was disappointing. It kind of sounds, you know, like two totally different ideas. But I came into this with higher expectations. I was expecting more. There was an injury, what appeared to be hopefully not a serious injury, to Cash Wheeler during the match. And it looked like it took the crowd out of the match, too. And it also impacted the finish, because there's no way that was the planned finish. So I think that probably had something to do with what we saw here. And just the suddenness of the finish and how it just seemed like it came from out of nowhere. But they went to a break. They came back from break. And Santana was running wild on FTR. He sent Cash Wheeler out to the floor. Hit a back suplex on Dax Harwood. So he catapults Harwood into the corner. Takes out Wheeler with a dive. Harwood avoided a diving stomp. Ortiz blind tagged in, rolled up Harwood for a near fall. We had Ortiz hitting a powerbomb followed by a frog splash from Santana for two. Santana laid in some chops in the corner. He shrugged off a lariat, hit a German suplex. And we had Harwood catching Ortiz with a right hand, setting up for a superplex. Santana stopped it. Harwood dropped Ortiz with a DDT. He tried to turn it into a cradle. Both their shoulders, though, were clearly up off the mat. Harwood took out Santana with a baseball slide, hit a brainbuster on Ortiz for the surprisingly clean and very sudden win. It just seemed to end at a moment that I wasn't expecting it to end. I don't think the crowd was either. But Harwood immediately went out to the floor. Wheeler was, you know, kneeling down out there. Doctor was tending to him. He was up. He was just kneeling down. It looked like he had a bad cut on his arm or maybe a bad gash. So again, hopefully nothing serious, but this will not be the last time. This will not be the last time that we see these two teams battling each other. I had figured that FTR was going to win the first match anyway. And you have Santana and Ortiz come back, maybe it All Out. In the rematch, they pick up the win. Possibly, if there is a rubber match, you do one more match, and Santana and Ortiz win that. They go on to All Out to challenge the Bucks, and that's where they win the tag team titles at Arthur Ashe Stadium at the New York City show in September. And that is still the way I think things are going to play out. I think that's the way things should play out. But unfortunately, the injury seems to have taken some of the piss out of this match, if you will. Tony Schiavone earlier in the day was interviewing Britt Baker in the back in Rebel. And Britt was talking about the fact that she tapped out Nyla Rose in their match last week, despite having a broken wrist. The women's champion has a broken wrist. And I have still seen no update as far as how serious it is or anything like that. But obviously she can at least appear on television while she heals up. But she was talking about, you know, don't hold your breath, waiting for me to fail, you know, talking herself up. Tony Schiavone was on stage, and he was there to make a live event announcement. Now, we were told that Tony Khan was going to have... They put the wrong Tony out there. We were told Tony Khan was going to be the one making a major live event announcement here on this show. He was going to be talking about some kind of big AEW special that was coming up. And I had theorized that perhaps it might have something to do with a UK show. They have not had any... I don't think they've had any shows, but they've not had any major events over in the UK. I thought perhaps maybe it was going to be a big West Coast event. They don't really do many events out there, other than the Vegas events. They did Double or Nothing a few years ago. So Tony Schiavone says AEW Rampage is going to be debuting in a few weeks on Friday the 13th. August 13th is going to be the debut date for AEW Rampage. The week after that, episode number 2 of Rampage is going to air on August 20th. And on that night, they are going to be coming to the United Center in Chicago for what they are calling the First Dance. And they're playing off, as I said earlier, the Last Chance documentary on Michael Jordan. So that was a big deal to a lot of the people in the building who started the CM Punk chants at that point. And take a look at one of the new Super Chats there. Goldberg is covered by AARP. I love having fans back because you get signs like that, right? That was from Monday night. One of the only good things about Monday night. But right after this, they cut to a backstage interview. Alex Marvez was interviewing Darby Allin. And Darby Allin was with Sting. Sting said nothing, which is what he does. He doesn't have to. He gets paid to stand there and just wear the face paint and be Sting. But Marvez was asking him about this big event in Chicago. And Darby says, I'll be in Chicago. But he said it in like the most unenthusiastic way possible. He goes, I'll be in Chicago. He said he's been around a lot of men who claim to be the greatest. He goes, there's only one place to really prove that, even if you think you are the best in the world. Loud CM Punk chants from the crowd. And then they moved on to the next segment. And there it is. CM Punk's arrival is imminent. I don't know how much more evidence you need short of Tony Khan appearing on television and saying, guess what? CM Punk is coming in. So for all the people who have been burned before, who were waiting for Punk to come back to WWE or debut in AEW all these years, because Punk still has a lot of fans out there. I know a lot of people don't like him or used to be a fan of his, and they think that, oh, you know, he abandoned the fans and whatever, which is a ridiculous claim to make, by the way. You know, he made a decision that was in his own best interest, right? He wasn't happy in WWE. His health was suffering in WWE. The guy was, you hear him talk about the physical stuff he was going through at the time. It sounded like he was dying a slow death. He had to get out of that company for his own sanity, for his own health, his physical health, his mental health. He had to get out of that company. And I could see where if you are working for a WWE and you are completely and just totally burned out, I can see where it would just kill your passion and it would just burn you out on wrestling and you would just have to take a break and go away for a while. So the guy went and he wanted to do other things. He went and he was doing comic book stuff for a while. And then he wanted to go try his hand at UFC and he did some fighting and it didn't go very well for him. But you know what? The guy's got brass balls. Not many people would have done what he did. He went in there. He was already older. He had very little experience. He got the shit beaten out of him, but you know what? Good for him. Good for him. So he won't turn around 10, 20 years from now and go, man, I wish I would have given that a shot. So he was doing different things, and he was perfectly content to leave wrestling in the rearview mirror. And then you hear from people, oh, he abandoned the fans, and, you know, he gave up on the fans. What an asshole. Remember the whole thing, we bought your house. That's always my favorite. That's always my favorite when the fans talk like that. We bought your house. You didn't buy shit. So now, there's this new promotion. There's a place where he can go and make really good money and not have to work for Vince McMahon and not have to see Triple H or Stephanie McMahon. I don't hold a grudge against the guy. Good for him. If he can get that bank and he could go in there and he can rekindle that passion that he once had, and if we can get a version of the CM Punk that we used to get, who used to come out and cut the promos that he would cut and have the kind of matches that he would have. You know, physically, I don't know what he's going to be capable of. He's been gone for 7 years. He's 42 years old. I don't know what kind of physical shape he's in. But I know that when he was in WWE, he had some fucking fantastic matches against the likes of Daniel Bryan. Right? Against the likes of John Cena. Against the likes of Brock Lesnar. Even the match with The Undertaker was the best match on the card at WrestleMania that 1 year. So even his in-ring resume speaks for itself. If we can get that CM Punk back with a whole new crop of talent, I mean, forget Jericho and some of the WWE guys. I'm talking about the newer faces, the younger faces in AEW, and get them in the ring with Punk or even Bryan when he debuts. You know, get the two of them back in the ring together. That's something to get excited about. I'm looking forward to that. You know, CM Punk's not my favorite, but this is a huge coup that Tony Khan was able to pull off, getting these two guys, if he is in fact getting Punk and Bryan. We didn't get any new information this week, up until tonight, about what their status is, when they might debut. Tonight was the biggest signal yet, that CM Punk is on the way. He's been very coy. Tony Khan has been asked about it, and he refuses to say one way or the other. He goes, boy, you know, there's been a lot of interesting rumors all week long, but can't really comment on those rumors. So he's coming in. The only question now is, when is he coming in? And it looks to be that episode of Rampage on the 20th. They're going to debut him on the Friday night show at 10 o'clock. So they really want to pop a great number, not just for week one, but for week two. And by doing that, they can now build some momentum and attention heading into the pay-per-view. Now me, you know, it would have been more impactful, I think, on the pay-per-view for him to come on out at the very end and walk out in front of that Chicago crowd, and then you can tease his first promo for TV later that week. But, you know, it's not a bad idea if they want to put him on their new show to try to build an audience for that show and really either tease things out for the pay-per-view or get his first match set up for All Out. You know, watching what they did tonight and the fact that they did what they did with Darby tells me that I think it's going to be CM Punk against Darby Allin. They want Punk in the ring. They don't just want him to make an appearance at All Out or cut a promo. They want him in a match. And I am not in favor of him coming in and immediately wrestling Kenny Omega for the World Championship. So I hope and assume that's not the idea. But CM Punk one-on-one against Darby Allin, that to me is an interesting match. That is an interesting, I don't know if it's a match, a feud, a program they're going to have. That interests me. A Punk and Darby match built up for Chicago at All Out would be huge, and it's a huge thing for Darby to be a part of. You don't think Darby Allin wants to be part of something like that? You know, the problem is, Darby he's one of their hottest young stars. Darby Allin's not winning that match. CM Punk is not coming in and losing in his first match. I mean, what do you think this is? You think this is Monday Night Raw? You think CM Punk is being called up from NXT? Yeah, then he could lose his first fucking match. This ain't NXT. This ain't Monday Night Raw. CM Punk does not come back after 7 years and lose in his first match. If Darby Allin loses, you know, it's not ideal, but I think in this case, as big of a deal as this is going to be to a lot of people, it's not the end of the world. It's a huge match for Darby to be in if, in fact, that is the match they're building up. So I like the idea. We'll see on the 20th. If Punk shows up and if he confronts Darby, then we know that's the match. And they're not going to do anything right now with Punk and Omega or you know, associate him with Hangman or anything like that. I like the idea of Punk and Darby. I think that's a big match. And to do it in Chicago would be huge. Hikuleo was out for his IWGP United States Championship match with Lance Archer, who won the U.S. title last week from Jon Moxley. And Hikuleo came out with his father, King Haku, who came out. He was doing this, all this karate stuff, karate. King Haku got a big pop, too, here in Charlotte. Big pop. Well, Charlotte's a wrestling city, right? So they know who Haku is. I mean, who doesn't know who Haku is, right? You know, you hear from everybody, the toughest guy ever, like one of the toughest guys in the history of the business is Haku. Can't find anybody to say a bad word about him because as old as he is now, they don't want to piss him off. If they say something bad about him, they're a little bit worried that he might track them down. But you hear all kinds of stories about this guy in bar fights and stuff, and he's not the kind of guy that you would want to make an enemy out of. You do not want King Haku to be on your bad side. You do not want King Haku to come looking for you. You definitely want him on your side. Chris Jericho told a great story about that on the Broken Skull Sessions with Steve Austin. Right? With the Mexican airport story. Go seek that out. It's a great story. But we had a sit-out powerbomb early in this match. Hikuleo is a big dude. He's every bit as big as Lance Archer is, maybe even an inch or two taller. If Archer is legit, maybe 6'5"-ish. Hikuleo is probably 6'7", 6'8", legit, he looked to be. I mean, he didn't dwarf. Last week, I think I made the comment that it looked like he dwarfed Archer because he looked so much taller. This week, they looked more on the same level. So I don't know if Hikuleo was wearing lifts in his boots last week or it was just the way that he was positioned on TV. I don't know, but they're both big dudes. He had a sit-out powerbomb to Archer. Haku got the Tongan death grip on Lance Archer out on the floor. This was during the break. They took a commercial. During the break, he got the Tongan death grip on him, and there was nothing Lance Archer could do about it because when he locks on the Tongan death grip, you're pretty much fucked. Archer hit a superplex to Hikuleo at one point, halfway across the ring. I mean, halfway just because of how tall he is. Of course, he was already halfway across the ring. And then Archer, about a minute or two later, hit the blackout, and he won. So really, I don't want to call it a squash, because it wasn't. Hikuleo got some offense in, but this was maybe one step down from a squash. I mean, this was meant to highlight Lance Archer, because Lance Archer now is the one who's going to be traveling to Japan to defend his championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi. We don't know when, but that is the situation as it stands. Tanahashi's not coming here. Archer's going to be going over there. Alex Marvez was in the back. Shout out to Dry Chicken Without Flavor. Dropping some super chat love on the stream here. I will be getting to his... or if you have quite... He has a question here. I'll get to your questions, your messages, all that good stuff here at the end of the stream. And I will stick around with you guys as long as it takes. We'll have a little super chat party going on here. Alex Marvez was in the back with Cody Rhodes, who was sitting in the gorilla position. He was sitting next to Jerry Lynn and Tony Khan. And Cody had his headset on. And I love how he had a little sign taped to the wall behind him that said EVP. You notice that? And the sign right behind Jerry Lynn said coach, right? I think is what it said. I think it said coach. I guess just in case they forget what their job titles are, they could just turn around like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I have health insurance. These idiots don't. So Marvez starts asking Cody about his match next week with Malakai Black. They're going to be going one-on-one on Dynamite Homecoming. They're going to be back at Daly's Place next week for 1 week. Although the way things are going, they may end up back at Daly's Place for longer than a week. I hope not, but it's possible. But he was going to ask him about his match. He started speaking, and out of nowhere comes Malakai Black to attack Cody Rhodes, and they start brawling. They brawl up the stairs, through one of the entrance tunnels into the arena. People are going crazy for this. They were way more into Malakai Black than they were Cody. They were huge into Black. These people love Malakai Black. And he hit a jumping knee to Cody on stage. A bunch of wrestlers and agents rushed out to break things up. One of them was Fuego del Sol. And poor Fuego del Sol was murdered by a Black Mass kick. Fuego del Sol's grandchildren are going to be feeling that kick. My man here got knocked the fuck out. So, nice little scuffle here. Great action. People were just chomping at the bit. They wanted to see these guys go at it. So, they're going to go at it next week. And again, my expectation is very simple. Malakai Black wins. And Cody Rhodes goes away. Because he's filming his television show. He's filming his reality show. And if he's able to make it back in time, they will have a rematch it all out. This is only match one. But Malakai Black will get the win next week. Not a doubt in my mind. As he should. Miro. We had a Miro video promo in the back. He was talking about Lee Johnson challenging him next week. He said Johnson was really talented, but all he needs in life is God and his double-jointed wife. I'll just take the double-jointed wife. I don't need anything else. It's all I need. You could have God and whatever the fuck else you want. Just give me the double-jointed wife. He's not wrong. Good for him. He says a glorious reckoning awaits Lee Johnson. We had Christian Cage tagging with Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus, taking on the Hardy Family Office, Private Party, and Angelico. And we had Christian and Angelico start things off. And he was working with Jungle Boy. There was a double hip toss spot here. Jungle Boy tagged in with an arm drag. Went to the floor. Got a cheap shot from Matt Hardy. Did Jungle Boy. And the babyfaces chased Matt Hardy all the way to the back. Back in the ring, Mark Quinn had control on Jungle Boy, but he escaped. Tagged in Luchasaurus. He went wild. Hit a triple German suplex on all three opponents. And he went for a double choke slam on Private Party, but they fought out of it. They took him, as well as Christian, out. Jungle Boy hit the rebound discus lariat. Took out Angelico and Mark Quinn before a frog splash from Luchasaurus. And a frog splash from Christian Cage earned the win for their team. Christian now, he's all happy, right? He got the big win. He's going around ringside. He's slapping hands with the fans. All of a sudden, he gets cold-cocked by a fan. Only it's not a fan. He disrobes. He pulls down. There's a visual for you. He pulls down his hood. And it's the Blade who hit Christian with the brass knucks. So I guess they're setting up Christian against the Blade. Perfectly fine mid-card match. Nothing more, nothing less. But this whole Christian Cage alliance with Jurassic Express, it's got to be building to something. Somebody's got to be turning on somebody. And, you know, Jungle Boy, unless he's going to completely abandon the gimmick, you know, and cut his hair or just kind of ponytail it back and become the, you know, almost like the preppy boy son of a celebrity and just go full-on heel, which, I mean, maybe at some point he can do that, but I just think, you know, Jungle Boy's got to be, what, top three, top four baby faces in the company? I wouldn't be turning him. Christian could turn. I see no issue turning Christian. Christian's a very good heel. But this has got to be going somewhere. This partnership, this alliance, this friendship can only last so long. It's wrestling. Everybody turns on everybody. It's a fucking shitty business. Look what happened with Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez on NXT this week. You can't trust anybody in this business. So it's just a matter of who turns. I would turn Christian. That's what I would do. Thunder Hollywood Jack Perry. That's exactly right. Perez in the chat. Hollywood Jack Perry. Here's my issue with that, right? That sounds great in theory. I think if you have the right person to pull that off, it could really be, you know, a fun gimmick. He can't cut a promo. That's the thing. And he's talked about this before. It's like nerves with him. And I think as he matures and as he gets older and gets more experience doing it, he might get better at it, but his biggest weakness is his promo ability, in that he has none. He has no promo ability. So can he pull off a gimmick like that? I'm not convinced of it. You know, some guys can be a very kind of timid, shy babyface, and then they go heel, and it's like they're more comfortable. It opens up all these fun things they could do, and they kind of grow into being a good promo. I don't know that he can pull that off. I don't see it. If you're going to do a gimmick like that, you've got to have the promo ability, and I just don't think he's got it in him. You know, he might eventually, but right now I don't see it. But Hollywood Jack Perry at some point, yeah. That'd be a hell of a gimmick. Thunder Rosa, who is now All Elite. She is officially full-time, a full-time contracted performer with AEW, and this was her first match since signing her full-time deal. One-on-one with Julia Hart. They gave her a win here. Didn't have much of a match. It went about 3 or 4 minutes. It wasn't anything special. It was more of a highlight reel for Thunder Rosa. She hit a corner drop kick in the end and followed it up with the Fire Thunder Driver for the win. A great pickup for and a no-brainer for Tony Khan. I mean, it was only a matter of time before her contract with the NWA expired at the end of the year. She was able to get out of it early. And, you know, for all these acquisitions we keep hearing about, Tony Khan is signing CM Punk, or he's signing Daniel Bryan, or Paul White, or Mark Henry, or Aleister Black, Andrade. What's the one commonality between all of them? It's all men. They have a women's division, which is not all that strong at the moment. It's stronger than it was maybe 6 months or a year ago, but it could still use some work. You had Thunder Rosa in there full-time. That's one way to improve your women's division. So she is a huge pickup for them because you don't really hear about any major female acquisitions. Well, she's a major female acquisition. Now they have her all to themselves. And over time, they can build her up for the eventual rematch with Britt Baker. Wouldn't do that for a while. But at some point, you are going to have to revisit that rivalry between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. And Thunder Rosa, I think, is going to be your next AEW Women's Champion. I know Britt Baker is going around getting babyface reactions from these live crowds. I said last week, although you may not have heard it on the live stream because it crapped out, but I was saying if there's one person who could turn Britt Baker from being this babyface the way she gets cheered to the people booing her and being the decisive heel, it's Thunder Rosa, because people like Thunder Rosa. She's fucking great. What's not to like? So I look ahead to who is going to be the one to take the championship off of Britt Baker, and I say, it's Thunder Rosa. And now that she's signed full-time, there's no reason for it not to be. There's no reason for it to be anybody else but her. Jon Moxley was backstage for a promo. He vented about seeing the French and the Croatian water polo teams getting into Japan when he can't. He said the moment that he didn't have the championship anymore, all of a sudden Tanahashi shows up on Dynamite. And he said, screw you. He said Tanahashi does not get to wrestle him. He said the forbidden door might be open, but ain't nothing good waiting for you on the other side. So it looks like he still wants to wrestle somebody from New Japan. Maybe they can get Suzuki in. If you've seen Moxley and Suzuki before, that would be a fun match to repeat here on American soil. So if that is what this is building to, Moxley kind of throwing down the gauntlet to other talent from New Japan, that should be a number one on their list. Then we got the main event. It was a no rules main event. The second labor of Jericho. Chris Jericho, the Painmaker, against Nick Gage, making his national wrestling debut. I did not know a whole lot about Nick Gage until I saw his Dark Side of the Ring episode a few months ago, and I did a whole review. And I kept an open mind about it because I am not a big fan of deathmatch wrestling. There are deathmatches I've seen that I've enjoyed. I am generally just not, I'm just not into the style with the pizza cutters and the panes of glass and the fucking light tubes. I know it has an audience. I'm not really in that audience, but I watched his Dark Side of the Ring episode. I got to know what makes this guy tick, his history, what he's been through, the shit that he's done, the crimes he committed, the bank robbery, his brother's death, right? Justice Payne. I got to learn about this guy, stuff that I didn't know about him. So I at least have an understanding somewhat about him and why he does the stuff that he does. The fact is, though, Tony Khan brought him in. He walks out there, and boy, did he stick out like a sore thumb. This was just bizarre. And I knew it would be bizarre because you got Chris Jericho in there. And think of everything that Jericho has done in his career. And he's live on TNT television wrestling Nick Gage in a death match. It was a total clash of styles. It's the reason I was actually looking forward to seeing this match. I was wondering, how are these two going to work together? How much punishment is Chris Jericho willing to put himself through? Jericho's 50, right? Or almost 50 years old. I think he is 50. He doesn't have to do what he did tonight. Chris Jericho is getting paid, I'm sure, very handsomely to be part of AEW. He was a big part of getting this company off the ground. He was their first champion. Chris Jericho does not have to go out there and subject himself to barbed wire and glass and pizza cutters and all the things that we saw. I don't know if we saw barbed wire, but all of the shit that we saw him doing tonight, I got to give the guy credit. You know, there's a lot of things you could say about Jericho and some of the stuff he's done recently and stuff he said, you know, but the reality is he went in there tonight. He wrestled Nick Gage's style. Nick Gage didn't wrestle Chris Jericho's style. Chris Jericho wrestled a Nick Gage match. And Jericho took a fucking beating in this match. Jericho was bleeding more than Gage was when it was over. I figured that Gage would be bleeding and Jericho would be bleeding. He was bleeding too, but not like Jericho. Jericho was bleeding like a stuck pig out there. And that he didn't have to do that. So, respect to Chris Jericho, but I just came away from this match thinking this was just the dumbest fucking thing that Jericho has ever done. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Why would you subject yourself to this? I understand they're telling a story here with MJF, the labors of Jericho. He's making him work to get the match. But there's another reason why. When this was over, I thought to myself, at least the order of everything, I said, this was pretty dumb. And we'll get to why here at the end. But right away, the match hasn't even started yet, and Gage already has a pizza cutter in his hand. And I did see the match, by the way. I saw the match with Gage and Matt Cardona, and I could say the same thing about Matt Cardona. Kudos to him for going into his world at that GCW show last week and taking a fucking beating and getting carved up by this guy, looking like a crossword puzzle, and he comes away as the GCW champion. They have a fun little angle going on there now where he's at Disney World with the belt. But he went out there and he earned the respect of those fans. I still think he's absolutely crazy for doing that, but good on Cardona at least, because he was able to generate a lot of buzz for himself, get a lot of people talking on social media last week. It was almost like Jericho now was trying to catch up with Cardona. He saw all the attention Cardona got. He got jealous. He goes, well, I got to do the same thing. I got to live up to all these expectations now. But he's got a pizza cutter in his hand. And right at the beginning of the match, he sliced open Jericho's arm. So now Jericho is bleeding on the arm. And I don't know if he actually got sliced or if he bladed himself, because that's another stupid thing we've seen Jericho do on television in recent months, where right in the visibility of the camera, he'll pull out a blade and just cut himself right there on camera. So when he sliced him with the pizza cutter, Jericho grabbed his arm. And he was kind of walking around the ring for a while. They took the camera off him for 10 seconds. He may have just sliced his own arm. I couldn't really tell. We didn't get an up-close view of the actual slice. He may well have bladed himself there. But some highlights here. Gage hit a superplex to Jericho, followed that up with a terrible-looking Falcon Arrow, which I'll excuse. I'm sure Nick Gage is not known for being the excellence of execution in this ring. So no, I don't expect him to hit a perfect Falcon Arrow here in this match. But he did hit a superplex and a Falcon Arrow. He goes for a running boot to Jericho in the corner. Jericho, though, locks on the walls of Jericho. And Gage grabs the rope, No rope breaks in a no rules match, though. He pulls himself out to the floor. Gage drives Jericho headfirst into the ring post, and now Nick Gage goes searching for toys under the ring. He is looking for goodies. He's looking for weapons to use, weapons of mass destruction here in this match. Any kind of weapon in his hands is going to be a weapon of mass destruction. If you've seen what he's done to people before, if you saw what he did to David Arquette, although David Arquette got what he... I mean, what do you expect when you sign on for a death match against Nick Gage? I mean, come on. You have to know exactly what you're in for. So nothing good comes from it when he's looking for weapons. Out come the light tubes. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe this is the first appearance of light tubes on a major national wrestling television program, right? Did we ever see light tubes in TNA for all the crazy shit TNA did? Like in their early years. I don't recall there ever being light tubes in TNA. We've never had them in Ring of Honor. We've never had them in WWE. And before tonight, we never had them in AEW. So I believe this was the debut, the national debut of light tubes here on television. Jericho's on the other side of the ring, though. He grabs his baseball bat, which Gage did not see. Jericho's bleeding from the head at this point. Again, blade job from when he went into the post, I'm sure. They get into the ring, and he hits Gage with the bat before Gage has a chance to use the light tubes on Jericho. Gage comes back, hits a choke slam across the knee, and then he pulls out the pizza cutter again. Here comes the pizza cutter. Here comes the pizza cutter. So yeah, people in the chat are saying never in TNA. I do remember in TNA, and this is, a famous match in TNA. I believe they once had, wasn't it like a barbed wire Christmas tree? Wasn't this like years ago, like 15 years ago or something? They had, I think it was like a barbed wire Christmas tree match on Impact or one of their pay-per-views or something. But no, I never saw light tubes in TNA. So apparently this was the debut here tonight. Surprised they didn't lose their first match either. Actually, they did. What am I saying? Gage lost. He introduced the light tubes into the match. They made their debut and they lost in their first match. They would fit perfectly in on Monday Night Raw. So Gage pulls out the pizza cutter. He starts slicing and dicing at Jericho's forehead back and forth. He's trying to saw this guy's head. And they cut to picture in picture. And during the break, you could see, during the picture-in-picture, he is continuing to slice away at Chris Jericho's forehead. And then this is, you talk about synergy, right? We were talking earlier about when the heels came out, the Elite made their entrance, the whole synergy with Space Jam and all that. This was the perfect synergy here. Whether they intended it or not, I have no idea. So the last thing we see before they cut to the commercial break is Nick Gage using a pizza cutter. Even in the picture-in-picture break, he is using a pizza cutter. And what advertisement, what commercial comes on here during the break? A commercial for Domino's. Domino's Pizza. You could not have timed that any fucking better. We got a Domino's Pizza ad. That was perfect. Perfect. But let me tell you something, as I'm watching this, right? As I'm watching the pizza cutters and the light tubes and all the violence and all the blood here in this match, I'm thinking to myself, in a world that has gotten a lot softer since the Attitude Era and the Monday Night War period, how many times do we hear Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo talk about standards and practices, right? Standards and practices, bro, that they had to contend with at Turner and TNT during their time in charge. We've come a long way from standards and practices because a match like this never would have flown back then. And for some reason, TNT is okay with it. They're okay with having the violence on television now. They wouldn't have 20 years ago. At least if Bischoff and Russo are to be believed. So we've come a long way from the days of standards and practices. Back from break, Gage brought a pane of glass into the ring with two chairs. He placed the glass right across the chair seats to form this bridge of glass. Jericho's underneath. Gage is going up top. Jericho, though, slips out. So now Jericho is on the ropes with Gage. And it looks as if he is setting up possibly for a superplex, but he's not. He's setting up for something very different. Jericho, and this is crazy, and I give Jericho props for this. You can make fun of Jericho all you want to for his physique and all the other shit that he's been doing in AEW, which I know not everybody is a fan of, but I will give this man a hell of a lot of credit because Jericho hit a top rope Frankensteiner. This was a badass spot, but also very dangerous. He hit a top rope Frankensteiner to Nick Gage. Jericho's head looked like, at least from that camera angle, it looked like he came within an inch or two of striking the glass on the way down. That's how close the back of his head came to hitting the glass. But he just missed it. And he hit this perfect Frankensteiner. And Nick Gage took this perfect bump down through the glass. The glass shattered. I hate when glass is introduced. There's two things that you cannot control. In a wrestling match, we've seen people injured in wrestling angles. We've seen Bill Goldberg nearly sever all the nerves in his arm by being a moron and putting his fist through a limousine window. There's two things that you cannot control who will always win. Glass and fire. So many things can go wrong. Fire, we've seen inferno matches and stuff where you have a person, like a technician on the outside, controlling the flames and everything. And, you know, that's fine and it makes for a good visual. But still, fire and glass, especially glass. So that's the one thing about that I didn't like. The visual of it, though, of that Frankensteiner and Gage coming down through the glass and the glass just exploding, it looked fucking great. Jericho goes for the pin. Gage kicks out. He had a code breaker attempt that gets countered, and Jericho lands back first on the broken shards of glass. Gage now grabs the light tube. Here we go. Here come the light. You knew somebody was going to get light tubes over their head. Gage grabs the light tube. He shatters it across Jericho's back. Shatters another one right over Jericho's head. It's a pile driver. Jericho kicks out. Jericho at this point is just a bloody mess. You can't even tell what color his skin is. His skin is red. He's just drenched in blood. Gage starts sticking him in the forehead with the broken shard from a light tube. Just like smacking him in the head with it, gouging him bit by bit with the sharp edge, trying to cut him open even more. He grabs two more giant light tubes, the biggest light tubes I've ever seen in my life. I don't know, these two light tubes are supposed to light up a whole, you know, fucking arena. He pulls them out from underneath the ring. He brings these two light tubes into the ring. He goes to use them, and Jericho spits green mist into Gage's eye. He goes, "Great Muta," on Nick Gage. And then he breaks the tubes over Gage's head, hits the Judas effect, and gets the pin. And that right there is why Brett Lauderdale took the GCW title off of Nick Gage on their show and gave it to Matt Cardona, because as a promoter, he had enough foresight to say, I don't want my champion going on live television in front of a million people and being pinned, even if it is by Chris Jericho. So let's get the title off of Nick Gage, and eventually we could put it back on him. That's smart. That's why the title change happened on that show. And it was just an added bonus, too, that they put the title on Cardona because it created a buzz for them. So good for GCW. But it was smart. You don't want your champion to be pinned on TV. We've seen enough of that recently. We don't need to see champions pinned on TV unless it's building to something. So Chris Jericho, not surprisingly, gets the win. MJF, who is doing commentary for the match, is furious. He jumps off headset and he grabs a microphone, the house mic, and he announces labor number 3 for Chris Jericho. Because he's got two more labors before he gets to labor number 5, which is MJF at All Out. Labor number 3, he says Jericho has to hit a move off the top rope, which he did tonight. We've already seen him hit a move. In fact, I've seen him hit two Frankensteiners in the last 2 or 3 weeks on TV. Jericho has to hit a move off the top rope in order to win. But he goes, that might be tough. And he pitches it to an old video from 2019. On an episode of Dynamite, there was a face-to-face confrontation in the ring, a promo battle between MJF and Chris Jericho. And Jericho made a comment mentioning Juventud Guerrero. Old Juventud, his old opponent from the WCW days, Juvie Juice. And MJF said, I don't know who that is. And Jericho said, Google him. And MJF, they cut back to live in the arena. And Jericho and MJF goes, well, as a matter of fact, Chris, I did Google him. And he's going to be your third labor. Chris Jericho's third labor is going to be a match against Juventud Guerrero. Somebody in the chat look up how old Juventud is. He's got to be what? Probably, mid-40s? If I'm assuming he's a little bit younger than Jericho, he's probably, 44, 45, I'm going to guess. But he's back on TNT after 15 years. They build Juventud as one of Jericho's greatest rivals. I don't know about that. They had some great matches together. I don't know, greatest rivals. I don't know if I think of Juventud. I don't think he comes up in my top five of all-time great Jericho rivals. But it just seemed anticlimactic to me because look at what we saw in the main event. Jericho looked like he was in a fucking car accident. He's just drenched in blood. He got sliced with pizza cutters. He had light tubes smashed over his head. He fell onto broken glass. All of these horrible things that happened to this guy in this match. When the match was over, he looked like he was crying in the ring. He was in so much pain and agony. And then you turn around and you go, well, it gets worse, Chris, because in your next match, you're going to have a competitive wrestling match with Juventud Guerrero. It's like the order of these labors seems a little ass backwards to me. It would seem to me that Nick Gage should have been labor number three. And maybe Juventud should have been labor number two. Now, I don't know what they have planned next week. Maybe it'll become clear why they're doing it this way. But it just seems a little ass backwards to me. After what he went through tonight, Jericho should be going, shit, piece of cake. This would be a night off. I'll happily wrestle Juvie. It'd be a great wrestling match. So that was very anticlimactic to me in making that announcement. But it's going to be a fucking night off for this guy after what he went through tonight. Respect to Jericho for what he did, but I, this type of stuff here with the glass and the light tubes and the pizza cutters and all that is not my, it's not my thing. But I know we have a lot of Deathmatch fans here in the chat, even joining us live right now. I know that obviously there's an audience for that type of thing. I just think that, you probably shouldn't be putting that in the main event on TNT. That's my only argument. But it was a wild match. I'll say that much. My eyes were glued to the TV, so that's why they did it, right? That's why they put this match together. But I'm willing to bet that there were a lot of people tuned into that show tonight, and I know they had a little video package before trying to explain who Nick Gage is. It was nice of them to give you some history, but there are people tuning into the show who are probably looking at this guy going, what the hell's this? Who's this guy? He looks like a fan out of the crowd. What's he wrestling Chris Jericho for? Why does he have a pizza cutter in his hand? But maybe that's what they were going for. They want people to tune in and not look away. I couldn't look away during the match. I didn't know what was coming next. To that end, mission accomplished. They got what they wanted. We'll find out when the numbers come out tomorrow. Remember, it was 1 million viewers 2 weeks ago. Last week, they were up to 1.1. It'd be a hell of a coup for Nick Gage if Dynamite went up and did 1.2 or 1.3 million viewers. He could take credit for that. It's crazy to think, but we'll see when the numbers come in. Next week's lineup, Dynamite is going to be back in Jacksonville at Daly's Place for their homecoming show. Cody Rhodes one-on-one with Malakai Black. Miro defends the TNT title against Lee Johnson. The Bunny one-on-one with legit Layla Hirsch in an NWA Women's Championship Eliminator match. And Christian Cage goes one-on-one against The Blade. Mengetsu in the chat says, this is how people learn about other wrestlers. Well, I think the point is that I wouldn't have had him as one of those other wrestlers they learned about here on this show. But that's me. Let's take a look at the Twitter. We have two polls going. We have a poll in the chat, which I didn't even mention, but we have a poll going in the chat right now. If you are live in the YouTube chat, go ahead and vote. We've got 1,300 votes in. 89% of you voted thumbs up, 11% of you voted thumbs down. And let's see how that differs from the Twitter poll. No, almost identical. 86.3% thumbs up, 13.7% thumbs down, with 1,500 votes in and counting. So go ahead and make your voice be heard. What did you think of this Fight for the Fallen edition of Dynamite? Yeah, we had a message in the chat here. What happened? Where's Jade Cargill? That's what I'm wondering. Where is Jade Cargill? I've been waiting to see her on TV, and she hasn't been on TV in a few weeks. I'm waiting for Jade Cargill to reappear. She is that bitch. Right? That's what she calls herself. She is that bitch. Don't get mad at me. That's what she calls herself. She was on Dark. Oz and Gloria says she was on Dark. I can't watch Dark every week. You gotta get her on Dynamite. We need more Jade. Let me mention one thing here, and then we're going to start our little Super Chat party. I know you guys have had comments about tonight. Get them on in. If you got comments, if you got questions, if you want to support the channel, you can do a Super Chat in any amount you like. And I will read every single message that you guys send in to me. But I did want to mention the Wrestle Rumble artwork contest. Take a look at that. How cool is that? That takes talent. This is what we call Seinfeld meets pro wrestling. You can win a piece of custom hand-drawn artwork from Rajan Sedalia, very talented artist. This thing right here, once my Super Chat from Dry Chicken Without Flavor gets off the screen here, this thing is going to look great on someone's wall. This is a great piece here, especially if you are a Seinfeld fan. So it's only $1 to enter the contest, and I'm going to be choosing one winner at random next week during the Dynamite stream. So go to WrestleRumble.com. It's only $1, and you could own this original piece of artwork. Who is that on the painting in the background? Is that The Rock? The Rock is on the couch, but it looks like The Rock. I don't know who that is, actually. On the back piece of artwork on the back wall. But, I love it. I love old school Undertaker. Look at that gray glove Undertaker with NWO Macho Madness. I love it. It's awesome. So let's take a look at your messages. Zoel in the chat says he has seen every episode of Seinfeld. Well, that's something you and I have in common. I've seen every episode probably, I don't know, probably fucking 10 times over at this point. I've seen a lot of Seinfeld. Let me get the Super Chats open here so they can be seen on screen so you guys can follow along with me. And again, for those of you who tuned in late, we had the technical issues last week. I did record my Dynamite review, which is up on the channel. And I made sure I got to every single message that came in last week, despite all the issues. We had quite a few Super Chats. So I made sure to read every one and answer any questions you guys had for me. So if you missed it, you can go back and check that out. So let us take a look here. And by the way, I am going to be getting the very first episode of SE Scoops Live up that I co-hosted with Noah Mark back in 2008 from St. Patrick's Day in 2008. We did 34 of those shows in total from 2008 to 2012. They cannot be found anywhere. I have the only copies of them. And if you are a YouTube channel member, and I saw that we picked up a couple of new members tonight, so thank you to those new members. I'm going to be getting up as part of the retro audio on that top legends tier. The very first episode should be going up in the next few days of SE Scoops Live. Has not been heard since 2008. So that and episode number 10 of the Sound Off, also from 2008, that just went up the other day. If you are a channel member at the Legends level, you have access to all of that retro audio, and there'll be more classic shows going up in the weeks to come. So I just wanted to mention that for those who are interested and for those who are unaware. So let us take a look at your super chats. Get some music going here in the background. Let me know if you guys don't hear it. We gotta set the mood here, you know? There we go. I hear it now. Alrighty. Boy, we got some super chats coming in here, man. We're gonna be here a while, aren't we? If I didn't know any better, I think you guys are trying to keep me around. You guys are trying to keep me around overtime after what happened last week. You wouldn't believe what I found when I opened up this machine. I found dust bunnies galore in this laptop when I opened it up the other day. I'm sure that probably didn't help with the CPU issues I had last week. CPU is spiking in OBS up to 50%, which is horrible. How this computer didn't completely crash, I'll never know. But the CPU has been hovering right around 8% tonight, which is good. That's a number I like to see. You know what other number I like to see? $2.99. That's the super chat from Turtlehead. According to Wiki, he says Bad Luck Fale died yesterday. He did not. If Bad Luck Fale died, we would have seen it plastered all over the internet. So don't get your death notices from Wikipedia, please. Just rely on trusted sources. Let's not start spreading any death rumors about people. Or Bad Luck Fale, you've gone ahead and killed him. But as far as I know, he is very much alive and well. Oz and Glorious, shout out to the greatest, Bob Odenkirk. Is Health and Miro's hot and double-jointed wife? Well, you know, I see Dick Tickles in the chat. Don't be too hard on yourself. I've had Dell computers for probably going back to the last desktop I had, and I haven't had a desktop computer in probably, I don't know, 12 years? Because what happened, and funny enough, they were making, the fans were making too much noise, and it was being picked up on the audio in the early days of the podcast, and it annoyed me. And that was the reason why I switched over to a laptop. I've had laptops ever since, and they've been Dells. I've had two Dell laptops. Only reason I don't invest in just a fucking beast of a desktop right now, which I really want to do, is I just don't have the space for it where I am right now. Just the way things are configured, I don't have room for it. So I'm going to have to spring for another laptop, and I'm just looking for what the best specced out laptop would be. I know there's some top-of-the-line gaming ones that are like $4,000. I'm not looking to necessarily go crazy here, but I am looking at another laptop. So, and Dell is on the list, but if you think I should avoid Dell, then, you know, let me know why. If you have recommendations for me, I'd love to hear them. But yes, I am in the market for a new system, so your suggestions and your feedback is certainly welcome. Oz and Glorious, thank you again. Brian Barsoon with the $5. Great Dynamite with insane main event. It was insane. You're right about that. I love that during the commercial break while Gage is cutting Jericho, there was a Domino's ad. That was quite great. Amanda, I've never had an Apple. I have Apple everything else. I don't have an Apple computer. I have an Apple iPhone. I have the AirPods. I have a fucking Apple Watch, but I've never had an Apple computer. I just think for me the learning curve and also I don't know that it's powerful enough. I want power. You know, if I'm going to spring for something that's going to be doing some streaming and video editing and stuff, I need a fucking beast of a machine. I need power. I need speed. So I think I'm probably better off getting that with something other than just a MacBook. Ryan Spies, Chaos Project should beat the Bucks for the belt. Now the Dark Order are out of the title picture. Chaos Project should beat the Bucks. I mean, I know I said I need speed. I think you're on a different kind of speed. That would be a terrible idea. King of Doug Style. That death match should have been the final labor. Yeah, I mean, at least labor number three. I have no idea why it was labor number two. Unless they have something really big planned for the end. Somebody before said Paul White will be labor number four, the big show. Eh. I mean, yeah, maybe. It could be. I mean, he is going to wrestle for them at some point. We have not seen him wrestle yet. Yeah, Carlos recommends Alienware. I keep hearing about Alienware. I keep hearing about that. Yeah, I've been eyeballing that. I might have to look a little bit closer. You know what the problem is? For the specs that I want, I was trying to do, even on the Dell site, you can kind of, build your machine and pick the specs you want. I just can't seem to get the specs all lined up, all the specs that I'm looking for. You know, I wouldn't go any lower than 32 on the RAM. I wouldn't go any lower than a terabyte solid state. I would not go, I think this thing here, this is an i7 quad core. I wouldn't go less than 8, 8 core. And then you start getting into the graphics card and now you've lost me. So I'm not as knowledgeable on some of that stuff as I need to be, but that's really what's important when it comes to streaming and a lot of the video stuff I want to start doing. You gotta have a good card, good video card. You gotta have processor power. That's really what's most important. That's what I'm looking for. So you can customize and you can have, these two specs, but then you won't be able to get the other two. So, and I don't know about finding somebody to custom build a laptop. I've heard of custom building desktop computers. I don't know about a laptop, though. Acer. Yeah, I've heard about Acer. Asus. Anti-M-Bishop 07 with the $15 super chat. Speechless. They actually did light tubes. Much respect to Jericho. Love your show, Solomonster. MDK all effing day. So we got a big Nick Gage fan here with Anti-M-Bishop. Ryan Spies, Hoovy better be coked up next week or else it's all pointless. Well, hopefully he doesn't go running around the ring naked. The way that he got in trouble that one time when he was in WCW or in Australia. He was all drugged up. And he was running around the hotel lobby naked. Cops had to come and subdue him. If I'm remembering that story correctly. I should look up when that happened. That would make a fine entry for this week in wrestling history, unless I already missed it. Damien, thank you for the $10. Showed a friend tonight, AEW, for the second week. He is in love with the storylines. AEW is just a good show on the likes with Dexter or Breaking Bad. Really? You put Dexter in the same category? I never saw Dexter, but I had a friend who loved Dexter. And then he said the last, season or two, it just went to total shit. Now I hear they're bringing Dexter back. I don't know if it's a reboot or exactly what it is, but I heard that they're bringing it back. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. With the $5 super chat, it was pretty awesome that a Domino's commercial aired right after Gage pulled out his pizza slicer. Quintus Brown with the $5. IWC, no Jericho slander for the rest of the year. Hashtag respect. Jacob Donnelly with the $10. Not sure what they do with Paige now, but with the announcement of Rampage in Chicago in the United Center and the heavy CM Punk teases, it would almost be baffling that he does not show up. Oh, he'll show up. They were going in pretty hard on the tease tonight. That would be fucked up if they teased it and then didn't deliver, and they're going to be in Chicago. At that point, you may as well just put him on the Rampage show and then just build him up to come back to Chicago 2 weeks later. If you can get a match out of him in Chicago, then sure, get him on TV a few weeks before. That's got to be why they're going to Chicago early. They don't want to wait until that Dynamite before, the week before, So they're going to go to Chicago a couple of weeks early in a bigger building. And so they're going to try to pack a lot of people into the United Center. And can you imagine if those people buy tickets to that show in Chicago and they don't get CM Punk? How pissed off a lot of those people are going to be? So I think Tony Khan is smart enough. He knows his audience well enough to, I would think, not make a mistake like that. So I think it's all but a done deal that we're going to get Punk on that August 20th show. Magician Sapphire, tonight's Dynamite was insane. Love the main event. And Thunder Rosa, now All Elite, is a W. Stephen Chappell with that $100 super chat drop from earlier. Here is a much-deserved bomb to the Solemn Monster from the chat's favorite English teacher. Stephen, thank you, man. That was an amazing way to start off tonight's stream. Very unexpected and very much appreciated, so I thank you. Team Forward, the Elite was more like the Goon Squad. And Epsilon Sama, Kenny Omega versus Brian Danielson for All Out. Nah, I still think you got to save Danielson for the New York City debut. I would save him. I would save him and have him come out on that show. If you're going to get Punk on TV next month, there's no need to rush Brian onto TV. There's no need. That's the beauty of having two big names that you're bringing in. You don't have to bring them in together at the same time. You could space them out. Why kill all of your buzz in one shot? Why not drag it out an extra few weeks or an extra month? Lou Rivera with the $5. Lionheart Chris Jericho against Air Quasimodo next week. Let's go. Rodimus Prime with the $20 super chat drop. Rodimus, what is going on, my friend? We see Rodimus in the chat every single week. Rodimus is awesome. We love Rodimus here. I personally have not seen Space Jam 2, but I've seen mixed reviews on it. The original Space Jam with Michael Jordan was awesome. Yeah, I haven't seen that in so many years, but I just keep hearing horrible things about Space Jam 2. Original Project with the $5. Thank you to Original Project. Not leaving a message, just leaving some love. Jose Leanos with the $7. Juventud Guerrera, Viva Mexico. Dry chicken without flavor. That was a great Dynamite tonight. Jericho against Gage was a perfect, violent match. I'm glad Nick Gage got to be on national television tonight. Quintus Brown, Archer against Tanahashi at Resurgence in LA. I thought that Excalibur said that he would specifically, Archer would be going to Japan. I mean, that's my impression just based on what he said tonight. They do have that LA show next month, I think on the 14th, if I'm not mistaken. So, possible. It's possible. Uffman Entertainment, next week, Hangman walks up to Omega's face and yells, I'm next. Is that not how it works? I don't think in AEW it's going to work quite that way. I don't believe so. Natural Born Thriller. Hope I don't jinx it like last week, but hope all goes well with your live stream tonight. As always, keep up the great work. It's kind of funny that you say that, because now I see the CPU ticking up to about 18%. I'm starting to get nervous. It's all your fault. I better speed through these here before things go sideways. Oz and Glorious, Juventud is better than Roman Reigns. Well, we're not going to have Roman Reigns slander here in this chat. There will be no slander of the tribal chief. Not after that promo he cut on John Cena on Friday night. Maroa. What's going on, Maroa, with the $10 super chat drop? I know it's a long shot and probably won't happen, but what if Penta and Phoenix join Andrade and Pac becomes, or Pac brings in Punk and Bryan in their place? And the six have a feud until Revolution. Would that not be amazing? I think the matches would be a lot of fun, but I think that's way beneath what Punk and Bryan should be doing when they first show up. That is just very much below what they should be doing. So, no, I would not go that route. Would the matches be kick-ass? Yeah, they would be. And I think in time, we're going to get to it. We're going to get Punk against those guys. We're going to get Brian against those guys. Brian especially, he just strikes me as someone who probably wants to work with all those guys. You know? We're going to get it. But I would not debut them that way. Oh, Spanish Goddess. He is a Spanish god. By the way, today is Sammy Guevara's birthday. So let's get some birthday emojis going on in the chat for Sammy Guevara. Forgot to mention that earlier. We didn't see him on the show tonight. But he says, you heard that Bob Odenkirk is in stable condition. I did. In fact, I led the stream off with that. That was very good news to get before I watched Dynamite tonight. I was very happy to see the update from his family. His son says he's going to be okay. There's still no update on exactly what happened. And if it was a heart attack, it was some kind of heart issue, but if it was a heart attack, you know, that's still serious stuff. We don't know what kind of condition he'll be in and how long he'll be laid up for, but the most important thing is that he's not dead. Because the longer the day went on and there was no updates at all from his PR guy, from AMC, from his family, from anybody, a lot of people were very scared, because usually that is not a good sign. So the fact that he is alive and stable and conscious and lucid is a very good thing. Ryan Spies, Archer against Tanahashi happens in the USA on August 14th. I think Tanahashi wins and defends against Moxley at All Out. Well, that would be something. Okay, so you're saying it does take place on the 14th. I guess my issue with that is, you know, poor Lance Archer. Here he finally does something of note, right? He finally wins. He wins back the U.S. title because he had held it previously. And now we're talking about taking the title off of him a few weeks later. But the idea of doing Tanahashi against Moxley at All Out is very appealing to me. Because what else is Moxley going to do? I was just thinking about that. What is his match at All Out at this point? I mean, is there any obvious opponent for him? I don't believe there is. Moxley against Tanahashi at All Out would be fucking great. I'd love to see that. Sorry, Lance. Sorry, big guy. You give me the choice. I'm going with Tanahashi and Moxley. Spanish Goddess, I think Jericho is going to face either Ultimo Dragon or Lance Storm after his match against Hoovy. But again, that's not much of a labor. That could be a really good match. It's got to be a labor. He's got to be trying to just, you know, climb some kind of mountain. MJF has to throw some kind of obstacle at him that's just impossible to overcome. Paul White, I could see that. I wouldn't be thrilled with it, but a match with Lance Storm, I mean, what kind of labor is that? Lance Storm's been retired anyway for a few years. Lupo de la Luna with the $5 super chat. Hey, it's AJ from Yonkers. Hope you're doing well, Solomonster. AJ, I'm doing great. We're having a great stream here. Total 180 from what happened last week. The worst stream of my life last week. But so far, so good. We're almost 2 hours and we haven't had any issues yet, aside from that little hiccup in the chat, and we got that fixed, so it's all good. Dry chicken without flavor, Young Bucks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Milwaukee Bucks. All the Bucks have gold. Giannis and Tom Brady should go after the AEW tag team titles. Imagine the heat if Tom Brady tried to go after the AEW tag team titles. How much fucking heat would Tom Brady get? How great would that be? That would be great. Domination Warrior was at Fight for the Fallen. Okay, so Domination Warrior, and shout out to him, he was at the show tonight. He said seeing Nick Gage on national TV was what the cool folks say was a banger. Also, do you think this whole month is AEW's best so far? Well, let me tell you, they've been putting on a pretty kick-ass stream of events since they're back on the road, and these loud crowds make a huge difference. I mean, these would be really good shows even without the crowd if they were just a Daily's Place, but again, having that, enthusiasm and that energy from the audience. It just adds so much. It's one of the reasons why I'm so pissed that it looks like they're doing, you know, NXT is doing this next takeover show at the COVID Coliseum. They're going to keep it at the CWC, and I just don't understand why. Because those takeover shows were completely built on that crowd engagement and that crowd enthusiasm, and you just don't get that in that building. And now you're going to have Samoa Joe making his in-ring comeback for the first time in 18 months, and all these other matches they're going to do, and it's going to be in front of 150 people at the Capitol Wrestling Center. It's like, you got to get on the road and back in front of fans, even if it's a small building, even if they went back to Full Sail. If they took it back to Full Sail University, you know, AEW is having a homecoming next week. They're going back to Jacksonville for 1 week. Why can't NXT do the same? Unless the school, you know, there's certain restrictions in place that don't allow them to run, you know, the building there at Full Sail. But if not, and I would think not, because in Florida, it's pretty much anything goes, no holds barred in the state of Florida, at least take it back there. Right, just change up the scenery a little bit. These crowds the last few weeks really illustrate how much they can really contribute and add to the show. It's just this infectious enthusiasm. Dr. NXT Scorpio, the mods need that overtime pay. Now, we took care of that. We took care of that. Gary Smith. Okay, AEW show, but Solomonster is always 5 stars. Ah, thank you. Thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say. See, and I didn't even have to break a light tube over my head tonight for the stream. I didn't have to go grab my pizza cutter and slice my fucking jugular tonight, see? Moroa, CM Punk making his pro wrestling return in Chicago is what the English would say. It's coming home. Oz and Glorious, I've never seen CM Punk wrestle a match, but I'm still bleeping stoked as hell that he's coming to AEW. Cannot wait. So Oz and Glorious has never seen CM Punk wrestle a match. I find that hard to believe. Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess if Oz is a newer fan, you wouldn't have seen CM Punk. Well, then you need to make an appointment to bring up SummerSlam 2013. On the WWE Network and pull up the match with him and Brock Lesnar. The no-holds-barred match those two had. And pull up the Money in the Bank match in 2011 with him and John Cena. And while we're at it, I would say pull up the Over the Limit match in 2012 between Punk and Daniel Bryan. That's your homework assignment for tonight. Those are the three matches I just thought of off the top of my head. Watch those three CM Punk matches in WWE. Cameron Johnson just came back from Fight for the Fallen. Had an absolute blast. Keep up the good work, Solomonster. Cameron, I hope you had a good time at the show tonight. Carrie in the chat says, I'll give you six. Give me $6 if you break out the light too. Well, I don't have any laying around here. I have a shitty little LED bulb downstairs. I don't think that's going to be quite as impressive. I didn't go on my Home Depot run earlier, so I don't have any light tubes laying around here. Brandon Vic Boss Morgan. I'm calling it now. It won't be Punk. It will be Enzo. Enzo Amore. Okay, well, Enzo Amore is going to be making his Chicago debut at the United Center. All right, well, I hope they're ready for a full-blown riot if that happens. Because that's what you're going to get. Dry chicken without flavor. Should the Elite cut a deal with the Hardy Family Office to go after Jay White and the Bullet Club? Jay White already recruiting Chris Bay on Impact. I'm just waiting for Jay White to make any kind of appearance on Dynamite. He hasn't been referenced or mentioned or anything, so I don't really care about bringing in the Hardy Family Office. I'm just looking forward to the day where we're able to have more of a free flow back and forth of talent from New Japan to AEW, where they're appearing on television. You know, we saw that with Yuji Nagata. We saw that with Kenta. And that's it. So I'm just waiting patiently for the day where we can get some other names, some bigger names, even the Stone Pitbull. Why not get Ishii or somebody like that, you know? Toriano, come on. You can come on Dynamite and try to sell some DVDs. Spanish Goddish. I feel like MJF is the AEW version of Rick Rude, and Ricky Starks is the AEW version of Eddie Gilbert. I like that. I like those comparisons. MJF does not have the body that Rick Rude had. That is a false comparison on that front, but I can dig those two comparisons. I actually think that's the ultimate compliment that you've just paid to those two guys. Eddie Gilbert was a hell of a talent, too. Too bad nobody talks about him because he was never big on the national stage. Nayef Alsafar, thank you, sir, for the $15 drop. Nayef, one of our loyal listeners. Ryan Spies, you should check out Lee Johnson against Luther from Elevation. It was a fun match. Well, you really are a fan of the Chaos Project. It's a big Luther fan. I've seen enough of Luther. I've seen Luther. Luther on Elevation is right where he belongs. Luther is the perfect person for those young guys to work with. And to do the job for. David Rivera with the $10. I don't know if you caught the reference MJF throughout on his promo at the end of the show. Jericho, while you're laying there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, a la Punk's pipe bomb promo. That's right. I did not pick up on that. That was what Punk said to Cena when Cena lost the tables match to R-Truth. And he was laying in the ring while Punk went up on stage and cut that pipe bomb promo. That's right. I did not pick up on that because I was rushing to finish my notes before the show went off the air because I had a stream to do. So I need you guys sometimes to kind of fill in the little gaps and the little holes for me. Indigo, what's going on, Indigo? Indigo is awesome. Indigo always drops messages of support on Twitter and in the YouTube comments section. Indigo says, much respect. I love nights like this where we are all in good moods. Those 2 hours flew by. Another awesome live stream. You know, I will say, Dynamite tonight flew by for me a lot quicker than it usually does. Not that it's slow, but I turned around to see what time it was, and it was 9:17, I think, and I said, holy shit, I didn't realize we were that deep into the show. And that's a good sign. When the show can fly by like that, you know you're having a good night. Justin Hare with the $20. Keep up the good work. Been a fan for quite a few years. Justin, thank you. I salute you, sir. Moroa dropping a lot of Super Chat love tonight. Oh, that's great. That's great. Hollywood Jack Perry needs Anna Jay as his manager to work. That's money. And that might actually work if Anna Jay, because Anna Jay probably cuts a better promo than Jungle Boy does. So she could cut the promos for him. I'm telling you, if he could just bring his promo, if he can find himself and just get comfortable in his own skin and improve and step up his promo game, Hollywood Jack Perry is a heel with Anna Jay as a manager. That's a money combo right there. Dry chicken without flavor. Let's all get it out of our system in the chat. One for Miro's hot wife, or two for Carl Anderson's hot Asian wife. You heard the man. Let your voices be heard in the chat. One for Miro, two for Anderson. You heard it from him. Ryan Spies, Emi Sakura is coming back full-time soon. Okay, so that'll be a little boost for the women's division, but she's no Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa is someone they can build that division around. They're not going to build the division around Emi Sakura. I don't care how talented she is. Thunder Rosa is the one that you build that division around once she takes the title from Britt Baker. I don't know. It's looking like Miro's got the edge so far in the chat. He's getting a lot of ones here for his double-jointed wife over Anderson's hot Asian wife. Dr. NXT Scorpio, I need that Suzuki-Moxley rematch. It's Stephen Fees. Tanahashi announced the match with Archer will be at the LA New Japan show. So there you go. Rizzo with the $20. I have a $1 million idea for you. Go live on Wednesday and Monday nights. I feel like you would be able to make enough money off our angry super chats to retire. Oh, believe me, I've thought about it. I've thought about, and not just for the super chats, but also because there are weeks where I am so, I'll watch the show live. Because sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'll watch it the day after. But there are times where I will watch Raw and I will be so upset about something and so animated. And I think to myself, this is going to be the greatest stream ever, right? But then I have something with work the next day or I can't do it. And I'd love to go live on Mondays. And I would consider it. And you're probably right. I probably could retire just based on those super chats. So I'm leaving a lot of money on the table by not going live on Monday nights. So, oh, look at this. Look at this. We have the new Super Chat. There it is. The Solo Monster Custom Championship. Cutting a promo. That's the new $150 Super Chat drop. And of course, it's from Professor John Gotti. I knew it would be him. I knew that you would be the first one to trigger that new Super Chat. Holy shit. That is the Solo Monster cutting a promo right there on who? I'll let you figure it out, who I'm cutting a promo on there, but that's the custom Solo Monster belt that I love so much that we just gave another one away during the Wrestle Rumble contest a few weeks ago. And actually, the person who won it is another New York person in Brooklyn who won the belt, Kenji. It was Kenji. Kenji, I think. If he's listening, shout out to him. Professor John Gotti, man, you are... You are the ultimate, man. I don't know what to say there, but thank you. Thank you for all your support, not just tonight, but every Super Chat. It just makes my jaw drop. It blows me away, and I had you in mind when I came up with that Super Chat. I said, I got to change it up a little bit, you know? We got to get a new Solo Monster Super Chat in there, so there you go. But anyway, Rizzo, that's not a bad idea. I had the great Steve Mello, who is responsible for all the artwork you see here on this channel. We collaborate together, and he makes the magic happen. I've had him just prepare some evergreen layouts for me. Evergreen meaning you could use it at any time. And I had him do one for me for Raw, one for SmackDown, and one for NXT. So that way, when the mood strikes, I know I could just plug in the layout, and I can go live. We'll see. We'll see what kind of feedback I get. I don't know why you guys would want to put me through that kind of agony. But I would consider it. You know, there's a lot of competition on Monday nights, though. I don't want to step on any toes here. But every now and then, there's a Raw that's just so bad. So awful. That I just cannot wait until Sunday. To get all the rage off my chest. Oh, look at this. Zoel Ivelisse with the $9.99 Super Chat. Although Punk has had some great matches, I agree with you that his strong suit is promos. I was wondering, who else do you put in that category? Great promo and maybe just okay in the ring. This is going to sound like a slight, but it's not really meant that way when I say this. And I'm using him as an example because we're talking AEW here tonight. It makes me think of MJF. Now, we've seen MJF in the ring. MJF is really good. He had a great match with Sammy Guevara not too long ago on Dynamite. MJF can go. I think people do look at him more for his promos, and they don't give him enough credit for the work he can do in the ring. I don't think he's, blow away in the ring, though, so I would say his promo ability is definitely, of all of his skills and all of his qualities, it's definitely the number one. So I think MJF might be a good example of that. Just to give you an AEW example. There he is again. Moroa. Yeah, Beowulf. I was going to mention that on the podcast this weekend when I do my NXT review, but you're absolutely right. And I said, the two biggest free agent names in wrestling right now, or at least up until this past week, assuming they signed their contracts, were Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. Samoa Joe would have been number three. If Samoa Joe did not go back to WWE and join the NXT brand, can you imagine Tony Khan pulling off the hat trick and signing Joe, Punk, and Brian? Because then you got your third guy, right? Everybody was joking, oh, Punk and Brian, who's the third guy? Like, you know, riffing on the NWO. Well, there's your third guy right there. You could have had Samoa Joe coming in. You could have brought them all in together. You could have brought them in separately. But imagine that. If he did not go back there and Tony Khan pulled off the hat trick. I understand he's another 40-year-old, but Samoa Joe is one of those rare talents that, I mean, you talk about cutting a fire promo. You know, again, maybe he can't do stuff in the ring that he would have done in his prime in TNA, but Tony Khan would have been crazy not to pick up Joe if he was available. Zoeil. Is it Zoeil? He says, I almost got his name right. I tried so hard. I didn't want to butcher it, but is it Zoeil? Because I see the two dots on top of the E, and I can never remember what that indicates as far as how to pronounce it. You don't have to change your name. I'll get it right eventually. You got to send me the phonetic spelling, though. Moroa, though, says TNT is okay with having the violence on their network because outside from sports, they need content. And the ratings for their other shows are in the gutter since most people no longer watch TV. Fair point. He also says, oh, hey, Hashway, in the chat. What's going on, Hashway? But Moroa also says, remember Jericho took Hoovy's mask off in WCW. That is true. That is true. He did take his mask. But when I think of you know, his classic rivals, I actually think of Dean Malenko before I think of Juventud. I just don't think of him as one of Jericho's all-time great rivals. They were rivals, but that doesn't make him an all-time great rival. Dry chicken without flavor. I'm pretty sure the parents had put the kids to bed before the Nick Gage versus Jericho match happened. Oh, and that's fine. I'm just saying it's just not my, you know, it's not my cup of tea. But I know for a lot of people it is. So I can appreciate AEW, though, giving people different styles of wrestling. You know, it's kind of a mix of a whole bunch of different things. You get the hardcore ultra-violence. You know, you get the spot fests, you get some great wrestling, you get, you know, you can get your classic FTR tag team match, they'll bring in a talent from New Japan, and their audiences, not everybody is going to know necessarily who some of the New Japan stars are, but they know enough of their audience that their audience, I mean, the AEW audience, they know who the key stars are in New Japan. The WWE mainstream casual audience might not. But I think in AEW, they would know. So I like that you get that variety. Zoeil. Okay, Zoeil. And Zoeil is female. So there you go. I'm terrible with remembering some of this stuff. So I might forget everything you just said by tomorrow. But that has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with my weird brain, where I could just pop off random wrestling matches that I recommend you guys go back and watch from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 25 years ago. I'll meet people and they'll tell me their name and I'll shake their hand, and then 15 minutes later I'll look at my friend and go, who was that? What was that person's name? That's just how it is. Maybe it's my old age, you know? It's starting to get to me. Rob Reed, I think soothing might be happening on that August 20th rant. Soothing? He says soothing might be happening on that August 20th rant. Did he mean something? I think you may have misspelled that word. Soothing, that indicates a very different type of rampage. What kind of soothing are we talking about here? I don't know. I don't know that I like where this is going. Paul Heyman You think Nick Gage could be a good fit for WWE? Oh, absolutely. I think Nick Khan is asking around for his phone number right now to start the negotiations. I think he would fit in great. In fact, I think they should make Nick Gage the face of their whole Be a Star campaign. And he can go around and he can give educational pep talks to kids and stuff. Absolutely. I think that would be the perfect fit. In fact, I think I got the perfect pairing for you. You bring Nick Gage in, you put him on Monday Night Raw, you pair him off with Nikki Ash. Almost a superhero. The perfect pairing. Nick Gage and Nikki Ash. Christopher Travers joined the channel tonight. Totally worth it to me. I used to get the Torch and the Observer in the mail years back. Now I come here. Wow, Christopher, thank you very much. That is awesome. Officially a channel member. Always trying to think of new content to crank out for the members. Of course, like I was saying before, the retro audio is the top tier. But I think what I'm going to do is, when I get the audio up for that first SE Scoops Live, that one I think I'll make that accessible to all channel members. So both tiers. But yeah, you get that. All channel members, of course, get the members-only video Q&As when they go up. You get the badges and the emojis and access to the Discord, which if you don't know how to access, drop me a message and we'll get you in there too. So thank you, Christopher. That means a lot. Yeah, see, people are receptive to my idea here in the chat. Nick and Nikki. Sounds like a sitcom. It does. It does. It's an odd couple pairing. Moroa, again, if you need a custom-built desktop, my brother does this for a living. Again, brother, I would love a custom desktop. I have a lot of offers and websites people have directed me to, but I just can't go the desktop route right now. I'd love to. Once the scenery changes here, I'll have plenty of room to kind of spread out with everything that I need. But right now, I'm kind of limited in the space that I have. And also just where everything is positioned and has to plug in. So trust me, I'd love to. In due time. Christopher, again, he says, hello again from Ontario, Canada. Hope you are keeping safe. I hope you are doing the same. JD Starlord with the $5 super check. Could Darby's best in the world comment be referring to Brian instead of Punk? Brian did call himself the best in the world in Ring of Honor. He did, but again, they know what they're doing. They know what people are going to think. They're going to be in Chicago. Not that people would be upset to see Brian, but that would be a bait and switch, and I don't see them doing that. There are companies that would bait and switch their audiences. I don't think AEW would do that to their fan base because they know that it would piss them off. I don't see what good that does them to do that. I mean, they are going to be back in Chicago a few weeks later, but the people who buy a ticket to go to the United Center, they're buying the ticket because they want to see CM Punk. And the company knows that. They heard that tonight. They weren't even in Chicago and you heard the CM Punk chant. So I don't think they would bait and switch the audience like that. Nor do I think that would be smart. Yukio rules. Enjoyed the show overall. Also, why does Vince McMahon hate fun? He doesn't hate fun. His idea of fun is very different than your idea of fun. The What Up Bro podcast with the $5 super chat was at the show live. I don't know if Mike picked it up, but I was yelling, "We can't hear you," at Ricky Starks. His microphone was very, very low. All in all, a good show. Yes. Yes, that chant did come across. And in fact, I think he acknowledged it. But I did not know that you were the one who started it. We heard him fine, and it sounded like it was coming through on the house mic. So it was a little strange because it sounded like his volume was fine. But, you know, sometimes when you're not in the building, it comes off a little bit differently. Lone Wolf. Cash Wheeler legit got his arm stuck on a metal part of the turnbuckle and sliced it open. Hope everything turns out okay. I said it looked like a gash on his arm. So hopefully he didn't hit an artery or something. Paul Heyman. I thought on the podcast you were going to talk about the Michael Elgin arrest and the comments made by Alberto Del Dipshit talking about a WWE return. No. There was no point. It wasn't worth my time. I picked the topics that I think are worthy of my time and of other people's interest. And neither one of those things were really of interest to anybody. See Moonsault. You want to see Roman against Kenny for the WWE Universal and AEW Championships in a 2 out of 3 falls ladder match inside of an exploding barbed wire Hell in a Cell. Straight singles match would be fine with me. Joseph Brooks. Thank you for the super chats. Brian Mahoney, off topic, what do you think of the new Chucky TV series? Since it is on USA Sci-Fi, perhaps he can go and kill Raw Creative. The show looks dope. Has that show started yet, or is it just the preview commercials? Because I don't know much about it, honestly. I think I probably would dig it. I just haven't really paid attention, so... I mean, let me know if it's actually airing, because I'll go check it out. I haven't seen it. Temjin Zephyr. Speaking of Bob Odenkirk, have you seen his movie Nobody? If so, you need to check it out. Great show, and LOL at the Domino's timing. No, I've heard great things about that movie. I have not seen it, though. But I've heard people praising his performance in it. Dry chicken without flavor. I have a change of heart towards Kenny Omega. MJF, Ricky Starks, Miro, and even Roman Reigns are better heels and talkers than Omega. Crispy Bacon. One of my favorite things. Happy birthday to myself and Sammy Guevara. Happy birthday to Crispy Bacon. You make yourself a BLT for dinner. I had pancakes. Pancakes with some walnut baked into the pancakes. Put some powdered sugar on top with some syrup. Cut up some strawberry. Oh, oh. My God. Temjin again. Steel is better than Space Jam 2. Well, there you go. Oz and Glorious, thanks for the recommendations on the CM Punk matches. I stopped watching WWF as soon as WCW aired the final Nitro, and I missed everything since. Professor John Cotty, there's that 150 bomb, and I think we are now... Well, I mean, there's no... I guess probably no topping that one. I believe we are now all caught up on your super chats. You guys came out in full force tonight. It means a lot. I was really upset about what happened last week, as you could probably tell from the tweet I put up last week. I was pretty bummed out about what happened with the stream, and you guys cheered me up with all your messages last week. So I want to thank you again for all of that. Thankfully, we have not had any, aside from the chat issue, we had no issues tonight. But again, I am looking into a new machine. We're going to build bigger and better here so we can do even more fun stuff here on the channel. You're only as good as your hardware. Right? You're only as good as the hardware that you invest in, so we'll get everything upgraded soon. Brian Mahoney just dropped $2. Check out the trailer. It premieres on October 12th. Okay, so it hasn't premiered yet. Chucky the TV series. I will have to check that out. I will have to check that out. And again, if you've seen any of those Fear Street movies, apparently there's 3 of them. They're on Netflix. I only first heard about this yesterday. I'm planning on watching the first one tomorrow. If you liked them, let me know what you thought of those, because I'm all about that. I'm all about any kind of horror series or, you know, movie series like that that maybe I never heard of before. It's always fun to find new ones. King Solomon in the chat says, thanks for the Orndorff gym promo tip. Yes, I had a lot of people tell me that they had never seen that before. It was an old WWF segment from like 85, 86, somewhere around there. And it's Paul Orndorff in the gym with a bunch of women. And, you know, there's a bunch of, heavier ladies who are in the gym. And he's trying to whip them into shape, but he is just, I mean, he is ragging on them. I mean, a segment like this would never air on TV today, but it is fucking hilarious. He's just fantastic in that segment. So yeah, just type in like Orndorff or Paul Orndorff Jim. It'll come right up. The segment's on YouTube. It's like 8 minutes long. It's fucking great. Unless you're the sensitive type, you're easily offended, then stay away from it. First one was good. Okay. It's like Goosebumps, but for adults. All right, good. Well, I'll watch the first one tomorrow night, and I'll have to report back on what I thought. I also saw the trailer that dropped the other day. Very excited about this. I have not been to the movies. I have not been to the movie theater in probably, oh God, I'm going to say 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, even before COVID. I just was not, there were not very many movies that appealed to me so much that I had to go to the theater to see it. The last one I can remember was probably the last Halloween movie that came out, you know, where Jamie Lee Curtis was back. And the second one is coming out this October. I'm planning on going back to the movies in October to see the new Halloween movie. And then I see that this trailer dropped the other day for Ghostbusters, The Afterlife. And I watched the trailer, and it made me sad because, you know, Harold Ramis passed away, so there's no Egon in this movie. There's no Egon cameo. But it's kind of based around his family. And so I like that. I know that there's a Dan Aykroyd cameo in there. I think all of them. I think Bill Murray and Ernie Hudson, I think they're all making cameos. I'm hoping that Rick Moranis might be in there. I haven't heard about Rick Moranis since he got assaulted in New York last year. Poor fucking guy was walking down the street, and they have these stupid morons doing this knockout game thing where they randomly punch people in the face for no reason. He got punched right in the face. It's on security footage. I mean, Rick Moranis comes across as like the nicest guy in the world, right? He hasn't really been doing much for years. He has been kind of keeping quiet. And the poor guy gets sucker punched right in the face. But I'm hoping maybe he makes a cameo in the movie. It reminded me, watching that trailer, it's almost like a Stranger Things version of the Ghostbusters. And I didn't see the all-female cast one. So, and I don't really have any interest in it based on the reviews that I heard. But this one looks very interesting. I think I'm going to probably want to check out this new Ghostbusters movie. So, because I like Stranger Things. So you combine Stranger Things and Ghostbusters, and that appeals to me. So I might have to check that out. Juan Ocampo dropped $2. Main event match was the definition of Outlaw Mud Show. Oh, we got a Jim Cornette fan here in the chat. Outlaw Mud Show. Well, we'll have to see what Mr. Cornette's review, I guess, of that main event is going to be. I'm sure he's going to have nothing but positive things to say about that main event tonight. Uffman says, you do not have to watch the 2016 Ghostbusters. Well, then I won't. If you're telling me I shouldn't watch it, then I won't watch it. But the trailer for the new one looks pretty good, so I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Yep, The Thing. His remake of The Thing is one of my favorite movies. But I'm also, you know, me, when it comes to a lot of those movies, I'm also big what's the expression for it? Classic effects. What's the term for it? I just forgot. As opposed to CGI, there's a word for the other. Practical, is it practical effects? I'm a practical effects guy. And The Thing had a lot of that. To me, it makes it creepier. But I guess if you're a younger person who grew up on, you know, the age of CGI and all that, you would look at a movie like that and go, man, that looks terrible. To me, you know, a lot of the visual effects in those movies, the practical effects were even creepier. Now, Green says, I have to see Carpenter in concert. He does all of his music from his movies. I did not know that. I honestly didn't even know that he was doing concerts. It's the first I'm hearing of that. Shout out to Chris Manson. He just upgraded his channel membership from Sound Off Superstar to Sound Off Legend. Congratulations on becoming a legend, Chris. EJ Slemp dropping $5 here on the stream. Missed the show because I was driving home from a road trip. I went to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today and thought of you when I saw Hall and Oates, the greatest of all time. Give me John Carpenter and Hall and Oates, and I'm a happy man. Granny, hell yeah. See, I actually have not been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm not even a hockey fan. But when I was in Canada many years ago, I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I have a picture next to the Stanley Cup of myself with the cup. But I've not been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Was that Cleveland? I think it's in Cleveland. Is that why they say Cleveland rocks? Is that where that comes from? Granny, hell yeah, just finished Dynamite. What a main event. Last Labor is a Wardlow with a gun match. I don't know about that. Turtlehead, I feel the Gage match got over what it was supposed to. Put him in front of a big audience and gave his fans a match nobody thought would happen. Look, I'm sure for his fans, that was great. They loved seeing him on television doing his thing tonight, and he didn't take it easy on Jericho. So his fans got exactly what they were hoping for, and you know, it fit the story of MJF putting this guy through hell. I just think it's weird that you go from being cut open with pizza cutters by Nick Gage to having a match against, Juventud Guerrera. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but thank you, Turtlehead. Nirvana all day. Nirvana was a whole mood for a lot of people back in the day. It's weird, you know, how you go back sometimes and you could just watch an old television show, right? Or something, or even a movie or something, but you can identify a certain genre of music or a certain piece of music with it. Beavis and Butthead is like that for me. Because I'll watch old episodes of Beavis and Butthead on Pluto TV. Because they come on this, one of the comedy channels on Pluto has Beavis and Butthead every weeknight from 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. So when I'm up late sometimes, I'll put it on and it's the old classic episodes. Without the music videos. It took out all the music videos. But I remember when I was younger watching Beavis and Butthead when they had the music videos. And I'll hear that music and it instantly reminds me of the old days of MTV. With Beavis and Butthead and Daria and Aeon Flux, the cartoon, and Singled Out with Jenny McCarthy. And it's weird how those moments in time and certain pieces of music can just kind of transport you back to a certain time in your life, or it could trigger certain memories. Just weird how that works. But I can't think of Nirvana and not think of ECW. I don't know if I'm the only one. When I think of Nirvana, I instantly think of just ECW back in the day. That's what it makes me think of. Hulkster 79. As a lifelong New Yorker, any advice on some must-see attractions or things to do for the first-time visit? Hoping to go next year for the first time. Oh my goodness, I mean, there's no shortage of things that you can do in New York. I would make it, I don't know what time of year you're planning on going. It's better to probably do this when the weather is nicer, but you got to hit Central Park. Preferably during the day. Not you don't want to go early in the morning or late at night, but hit Central Park. It is an amazing place to walk around. But beyond that, I mean, there's any number of things you could do. I mean, I could tell you some of the standard things, Times Square and stuff, but Central Park to me would be the main thing that you would want to walk around in. Sam says Nirvana makes him think of DDP. That's true. Fried chicken, Chris Jericho's final labor, drink a whole bottle of Grey Goose and have a match with Wardlow. Drinking a bottle of Grey Goose, I mean, he does that shit every night. It's not much of a labor. Although he drinks any more of that Grey Goose, he's going to look like he's in labor. I think he needs to cut back on that a little bit. Chris Manson says, remember your Hall & Oates concert and the guy from Train performing for over an hour? Yeah, I do remember that. My very first Hall & Oates concert I went to was a few years ago. I finally went. Me and my brother, we went to go see him at Madison Square Garden. And we ended up, we didn't realize it was really, Train with Hall & Oates. So, like, fucking Train is singing all their songs 90 freaking minutes before Hall & Oates even came out. I go, did I walk into the wrong concert here? Like, where the fuck am I? What is this shit? I didn't come here to hear fucking Drops of Jupiter. I want to hear Hall & Oates, damn it. All right, guys, this has been fun. I have enjoyed hanging out with all of you tonight. Over 2.5 hours we've gone, so that's a nice comeback from last week. I'm glad things went well with the stream tonight. Everything was pretty much flawless from my end. Hopefully that will continue into next week. And I'm going to be back with you on Sunday for episode 715. Of the podcast. We're going to be talking SmackDown, NXT, This Week in Wrestling History, right? The final weeks, because the segment is going to be coming to an end in September. September is 1 year since I brought back the segment. I did it many years ago, and when that year was over, I stopped, and I waited about 7 years before I brought it back. It may be another 7 years. I mean, I'm still going to talk wrestling history on the show, obviously, from time to time. I'm trying to think of what I want to replace it with, if anything. But I think the biggest thing I'll do is, yeah, we'll start to bring back those big mailbags. So you guys start emailing those questions to me again. And we'll start doing the bigger mailbags at the end of the show each week. But we're not done yet. We still got another, month and a half of This Week in History. I know you guys have enjoyed it. I put a lot of work and a lot of time into it every week, so hearing feedback from you when you enjoy it does mean a lot to me for all the work that goes into it. So that'll be episode 715, 2 hours plus, I'm sure, coming up on Sunday. And then next week is the homecoming AEW Dynamite edition from Daly's Place, and that will be our first Dynamite stream for the month of August, August 4th. And don't forget, we have the artwork that is going to be up for grabs in the contest next week, Wrestle Rumble. There it is right there. You can own that. That is hand-drawn custom artwork, Seinfeld meets pro wrestling. You could own this piece. You could put this on your wall. And all it costs to enter the contest is $1. And then I'll pick a winner on the live stream next week to take that little piece home. We're trying to, you know, vary the contests a little bit. Instead of just doing belts all the time, you do artwork and other things. So, and there'll be another belt contest as well for SummerSlam coming up next month. So all the kudos to WrestleRumble.com for putting the work in on that. I'm just here to do the contest and pick the winner, man. That's why I'm here. Thank you again, guys. I want you to have yourselves a fantastic rest of your week. And again, shout out and happy thoughts to Bob Odenkirk, who is in the hospital but is alive and is doing well and hopefully continues to do well. Be well, stay safe, and I am going to see you guys back here next week. Until then, take care, guys.